ridiculously excited about this morning. And this isn't like, you know, Pastor, I'm super jazzed about our new thing 2022 initiative. I like, seriously, I was up at 3:30 a.m. as my wife for the test, tossing and turning, just thinking about today and this moment. This for me is like one of the most important moments in the history of Polaris Christian Church, and certainly, and just, you know, selfish in my own personal ministry as we celebrate and send our first homegrown missionaries. Now, just a quick reminder, we talked a little bit about this last week. Mark 10, Jesus was indignant at children being ignored. Indignant meaning furious. Had lost his composure, mad when children were ignored. And then in Matthew 18, Jesus says, welcome children, welcome you. If you hurt, mistreat, ignore children, you mess with them, you mess with them. And so at Polaris, as a church, we love Jesus by doing great things for kids. That's like our big thing. We love Jesus by doing great things for kids. That's why we have Rise and Shine, that's why we do Polaris Kids and ministries to the schools, and we take it global, which is crazy to think. We take it global, and we're doing that in a big way. There will be children in the shanty town in Costa Rica who retell their story because of what God is doing through us and the bad things. And I'm amazed that we get to be a part of that and send them off today. So, please welcome to the stage Chuck and Christy Badley.
As volcanoes and beaches and whatnot, that is a part of it. But there are about 5 million people that live in Costa Rica, and about a million of those people are Nicaraguan refugees who have fled what's been happening in that country over the past couple of decades. And Costa Rica has about a 25 to 30% poverty rate, meaning less than $150 a month to live on. They also have another level of poverty that they call extreme poverty, and this is about $30 a month. That's the type of people that live in the shantytowns. So a shantytown by definition is cobbled together, plywood, tin, you know, mix and match, super colorful because you don't go down to Home Depot and buy your tin down there, you salvage and scrap it.
Their Homeowners Association doesn't make sure
they're not a strong homeowner association, yep. There's open sewage, so you know, electricity is cobbled together from electricity poles. This house ties into this house, ties into this house. buckets usually are their bathrooms, and not a lot of places to shower, so it's, you know, capturing rainwater and so forth. So pretty dire situation. So what we have been able to do is find several communities, and there's one in particular, Los Pinos. It is a shanty town near Alameda, so again, you can see pictures of that out in the lobby. There are about 1,200. We get on Google Maps and we try to count the shanties. It's very difficult to do because they all kind of blend together. We estimate there are about 5,000 humans living in this shanty town, and probably anywhere between two-thirds of those, 60 to 75% are kids. There's a lot of, like we said, food insecurity. There's a lot of, you know, really poor sanitary living conditions. There's a lot of domestic violence. There's a lot of community violence. Just a very oppressive situation. So Love's Pure, Love Pure's mission, Larissa's mission there, is to do anything we can to get to know these children, their families in that community where they live, and do anything and everything we can to alleviate some of that pressure.
Okay, so I texted, you got anything, Chris, you want to add that? Okay, so I texted you yesterday and said, I'm going to speak, I just said I'm going to talk about the journey from when you first had that vision to today. And I thought one of the trends about how to set that up. And so I found, had Martin set it up from your first vision video. So we're going to show just a couple minutes of your first vision video. This is like...
Sorry.
Martin said, no, don't do it. I said, no, we need to do it.
Yeah.
Pretty close to perfect. What are we missing? What are our kids going to come back to us in 10, 15, 20 years and say, how could you guys let this happen? How did you not do anything about this thing that was going on?
And so for us, we've always been passionate about children. For me, I remember one day I was just talking about a statistic of 30,000 children a day die from complications of not having enough food. And, you know, after church, we would go to take the kids to a buffet, and we're throwing food away, and it's just the contrast really started to hit home with us.
Chuck's mom wanted to take us out of Costa Rica. They had gone to Costa Rica, they did it several times. She wanted to take the entire family on this all-inclusive vacation of a lifetime.
We actually found that, of all places, Costa Rica has a significant refugee population from Nicaragua. So there are a lot of people who flee Nicaragua for violence reasons, past political, gangs, economic opportunities, and so forth.
At this point, we were still in the part of the area that has structure. We got out of the car, and we were like, you know, okay, this is not a very, very good day. And the guy said, Mom, we're walking. And I look over and I see some tin, like, outbuildings that almost look like. And he said, this is where we're going. We start walking up the sidewalk, and I start looking around, realizing that I'm walking through. I start looking around, and I realize that I am walking through the neighborhood. There are probably 15 kids sharing one bicycle with a flat tire. And all you could see were shanties. What blew us away was this sense of community. I didn't feel unsafe. I didn't feel unwelcome. And it was a really cool feeling 100 yards into the worst area. I could not have even fathomed that this existed. And so we had to get away for a little while. And finally he looked and said, you know, you gotta tell me what's going on, you gotta tell me what you're thinking, you gotta, and I said, I can't forget what I saw yesterday. You're not going to find a place where any more needs exist than you were yesterday. And I don't need to keep looking, and I can't ignore that for the rest of my life.
And then you did something about it.
Yeah, we're trying.
The thing that, in that, I'm overblaming that, by the way, and I'm apologetic because I just, the thing that stood out to me was the first version was like 8 minutes of time lapse. I thought, they were just coming back from this trip where they found this conviction. And then they did something about it. Like, I get two or three of those a year where, oh, I should do something. Then I go buy something to take my mind off of. they went and they did it. Yeah. And this is not like, I mean, no offense, there's a lot of great missionaries out there, but some missionaries are just barely all, you know, all heart, compassion, flighty. They just kind of go, but they're like, we're going to do a bop, 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 bop. I was looking at my album list yesterday from like 2019, 2020, and you're like, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. Aside from that pesky pandemic, you had it, and then you did it. So, as you look at where you are sitting here, hours from going, to thinking back to that video, what stands out, what strikes you, what, how has this journey just, what?
So I'm looking up at the light, so I don't have to look at any of you guys, because you know how I am, and I will not mention if I make eye contact with anybody. So I think a couple of things for me. I think if I look back 4.5 years, number one, and I remember Alex saying this numerous times, God is slow. And there were several times where we would just say, that's it, we're just going. We're dropping this and we're going. And I have learned that God takes his time. And it's all in God's time. And looking back, it all makes sense. I think the journey doesn't have to be clear. You don't know. We have no idea where we're going now. We know physically where we're going, but we don't know where this thing's going to take us. And I think that the more we're open to hearing what God's calling us to do, the more he calls us to. And so a long time ago, thinking back to the times I've been up here, one of my best analogies has always been, like, it's easy to walk on the water once you're on the water. But when you're sitting in the boat and you're thinking about walking on the water, that's pretty easy too. But when you put that foot out on the water, it's time to shift your weight. And it's time to trust that it's going to hold you up. That's when the growth happens. And that's when you're willing to take that little step that he just keeps asking, and it keeps getting more amazing. To feel like he's got us. And even we may not have any idea what the end of this path looks like or that, where this thing is going to go, we know that he's going to direct us where we're going. And one more thing that I'll give to you. It's amazing to me, something I have learned through this journey too, is that out of trillion, I don't know how many people, he sees me. He sees me. Amazing to me that Chuck and I can pray for clarity, and for all that God hears and he gives us that clarity, and that's amazing.
I'm going to follow that. I think Alex said something that was interesting when you talked about the clarity of the vision. It's like, I'm glad it came across that way, because it certainly wasn't that way. But I think for me, what changed is just my mindset. You know, going from living in this country, you know, suburban Cleveland, doing the things that we do and so forth, to Christy's point, shifting our weight into, you know, what if this isn't it? I think what really sticks out to me the most is, and there's so many of you in this room, both knowing and unknowingly, have done things for us, supporting-wise, whether it's something you said that you had no idea was actually God talking through you to us. That's what keeps us going. And because I think for me, it realized, hey, let's go do something about something that we saw. And then just called Kathy Beebe out. She said, you don't have to do this alone. Let people help. And that has been absolutely instrumental. What that help looks like spans the spectrum. So this is not a Christy Badley, Chuck Badley. It's not even a Polaris ministry. It's God's ministry that we're all in together. There's room for all of us to do something, whether it's with Love here in Costa Rica or all the great things that we're doing here today. But I think Christy said, just take that first step and the rest, believe it or not, falls into place. And then the more I find that we're willing to say yes, fair or not, we get asked to do more. I think that's pretty exciting.
Okay. Talk through what you are most excited about. What are you most excited about headed there, feet on the ground?
First and foremost is gallo pinto. It's a rice and bean dish that is served every lunch for breakfast. It is truly the nutrient of God. I think you said the other day on Facebook when you arrived at heaven, it's some chip. I think it's gallo pinto.
Did you guys see how? Hold on a second.
This is important.
I think it was last Sunday. I told you all about Maslin, golden crisp potato chips.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Then, while walking in Meijer, a couple days ago, from God, there was this giant display of golden crisp. I mean,
it's a sign.
I don't even name it, claim it, theology, but that kind of was that. I actually was going to today run there real quick before church and get you a bag of golden crisp, but I forgot. Okay, back to your
parts of these. All right, so seriously, for us, at least for me personally, it's I found God in Costa Rica. I mean, I find God here in this building and in my day to day, but I really feel like the presence of God is when I'm in there serving those kids. And it's funny when we talk about the transition. I went down there thinking that we were gonna save those kids, and they're saving me. And that's humbling. It makes me want to be there. It makes me want to, what's next to get closer to God. So very selfishly, it is about getting closer to God and meeting God where He wants me to meet Him, or she, or whatever referring to God is. And that's super exciting to know that that's the path in front of me today.
So real quick, expound on, what have you learned most from the four?
They're not poor. Yeah, I think poor is a definition of absolutely these children don't have access to the health care or the education that we have in the community that they have. I know Jim and Tony came down to visit, and I think Tony said, and Jim, I think he said it too, it's amazing the sense of community that these people have, the love that they have for each other, the love that they have for God, the love that they have for us. They have no idea that we actually contribute anything. They think we're just gringos coming down to hang out. Mm-hmm. They think that that's what they think. So it's pretty cool to see that.
I think I'm most excited, just, and I referenced this earlier, just about the unknown, about where this thing's going to end up. We started, I think, 4 years ago interviewing about this thing. So I can't wait to see in 4 years what we're coming back and saying. And I'm excited to continue the partnership that we have with Polaris. Help people here make a real difference there, to be that bridge to help do that. I'm excited to see the impact that we can make with kids, that ripple effect, because I've seen it with Rise and Shine. I've seen what a positive place for kids, how that can ripple up into the community, and how it can affect families, and it can affect generations, and it can affect so much more than just that little bit of time you're spending with that child. And so Rise and Shine has been a big inspiration to me to see I can take working with this child who in 5 years may not even remember my name, and that's okay because it's that ripple effect that comes from working with that one child and helping that child have the resources that they need. So I'm super excited to get down there and learn more ways to be impactful.
What are you nervous about?
So the phrase that I keep using when people ask me, I'm nervous about leaving. I'm not nervous about going.
I'm nervous to say goodbye. My family, my kids,
my band family, to my church family, to my Rise and Shine family. I'm nervous to leave that support and that everyday support. at you. I'm nervous to leave the dog. Like, this is safe. This is, we know what tomorrow's going to look like in there. So I'm a little nervous about that. And to just be super vulnerable, I'm a little nervous.
I'd say the same thing, definitely leaving family, friends, but I think it's the same that Krista says at Atlanta. So, it's, you know, this is a Polaris mission. You know, are we going to represent Polaris the right way, or are we going to represent God the right way? It's easy when it's just us going in and messing things up and so forth. So I'd say that I don't necessarily feel like it's a lot of pressure, but over the years as we've like, wait, you know, is God wanting us to do this or that? It feels a little bit like the stakes are a little bit higher to get it right. So those things that you saw, those plans, feel like we have less leverage. I know that's not the expectation, but I think it boils down to, you know, why did God give us this opportunity? And are we going to be able to go down there? Yesterday we had Instacart. Brings us closer together as a relationship. And we messed up an Instacart order. So it's like, how in the world are we going to go through God's word if we can't get a job and all the orders are going to be items?
That reminds me of when Moses had his list of fears and uncertainties, and God said, who gave man mouth that he could speak? Is it not I? So God chose you. And I have to say, I can just listen to what you guys have put together and your business sense, your competency. Doesn't really matter what, I mean, you're useless in the equation. It's really just Christy's competency. I told Chuck today, I feel like Polaris has given away a vital organ, and it's not you, Chuck. Hold you guys. Seriously, I have no doubt. You are stellar leaders, incredibly competent minds in your own right. Much less your willingness to say yes to Jesus, and then it's in God's word. So do me a favor and walk us through the, go for it. Mm-hmm. Chuck's going to tell some jokes. I want you guys to just see these cards and little prayer cards and put them on your fridge, on your bathroom mirror, whatever, in your Bible. I was going to say in your dashboard, but don't put them there because you know, you like reading while you're driving. And then Christy or whoever is going to walk us through, just in a moment, just walk us through some of the info on the prayer cards.
Before we start that, I really would like to take a minute, because I know this week took a lot of work from a lot of people, and so we just want to take a second to say thank you for these. I mean, they're amazing. The table that's put together, the stuff that the kids, you guys have really made us feel really special today, and even for coming today. I don't know if you just stumbled in not knowing the point you were coming into, but anyway, thank you for being here, and thank you for all the love that we've given today.
Okay. So, does everybody have a card?
Yeah.
I like that. Thanks, Mike.
So, the front of the card are, that's actually a picture of Rachel and Rachel's younger sister. There are seven siblings in the gospel. You guys have heard us talk about Alfredo. So she is one of the children in Los Pinos that we serve. They're actually walking, in this case, the Bible Club that we have in, that before we had the meeting center, we had it in the shantytown. And that's actually one of the main walkways in the shantytown there. Down at the bottom, we talk about, like, this is one thing that really resonated with Krista and myself, is this loving without condition, loving without reservation, and expecting nothing in return. That's how we came up with the idea of love pure. It just felt right to us, and I feel like that's the love that God has shown us, and probably throw a lot of grace and forgiveness in there as well. So we love this. The heart, just to the left of the love pure logo, strategically placed on Costa Rica, is a really, really nice touch.
I didn't even know that.
I thought it was a smudge, and I was trying to scratch that out because it's like, hey, it's a heart. So we absolutely love that. And on the back, I mean, really, again, this, we, you know, you can't script this. Just, again, you guys have no idea, kind word in the lobby, someone coming up in the parking lot and say, here's $20, buy the kids bananas at club, to raising a few dollars to actually buy an entire building to have a youth center. All of those are equally as humbling. So anything that's on your mind or heart to pray for, this is God's mission, this is your mission, this is our mission. So feel free to do that. But as we talked through some things that really resonate with us, some of those are on the back. I don't know if you're gonna do a prayer today.
Yeah, definitely.
I can't read it, sorry.
So I pray for the health and safety of the children and the families living in Los Pinos, that they find relief from the oppressive living conditions which surround them daily.
Yeah, so that's what we talked about at the beginning. There are, oppressive is the right word. There's just so many things stacked against these children. So just an ongoing prayer for that is really important for us.
Specifically for our safety while we're in there, the continued clarity of the work and the impact in the community. I would say we feel pretty safe in there, but we've also been told that we're pretty naive and we need to pay a little closer attention to what we're doing. I would appreciate the prayer for us to be able to be safe. At the top of the presence, love and peace of God that be felt and known in every life touched through this mission, that's kids there. That's people here if they're touched through the mission. That's, again, that ripple effect. Everybody that comes in contact with this to feel that and hopefully to take that, like Chuck said this morning, find your shanty town. Like find your calls, find your thing. So everybody that's touched through this. And finally, for the youth center itself to be a place for kids find their worth in God's eyes and have opportunities to our quote is write a different story for their lives. And that's what our goal is to just, if we can change the path of one kid, we consider it a success.
Anything else? I think I do want to thank you, Alex. I know Kristen wants to thank you as well. I know Lois is often when we say this, but you were the one that kind of put the first year out there that you felt there, you triple dog gave us. Dave, I think I told you one day you said something as well. It was like I was really wrestling. I said, Krista, before church one day, this is a pretty cool little story. Do you have time?
Nobody has anything better to do, I promise.
So we came in, I was telling Krista before church one day, and I was just like really lost and just like feeling, this is like in the early days, just, you know, God's got to send a message to me because I'm getting really impatient. I learned later it was me not listening, talking. And Dave Ivey was sitting up here, and he was saying something, and he stopped, and he said something to the effect of, you know, if you're waiting to hear from God, you know, almost like a hang in there type thing, and then he went back to what he was saying. And after church, I caught him, and I said something to him, and he's like, he basically, like, didn't remember saying that, and it's just like, that was creepy. And Christy's exact words were, I'm going to get her in trouble. God's creepy.
Sometimes.
But you have no idea, just you guys standing up here, the words you say, Isaiah 58 means something. It's not just words. The scripture in the Bible, so many times it's like, that's what that means. And so when we humble ourselves and we take that, yes, I'm
this. I'm thinking, I'm going just impromptu here because I was going to do like the pastoral thing, but I'm thinking Leanne, Marcus, Dave, come on up. You guys, let's see here.
Join us in prayer. Father, you've always promised that you would be with us in your seas. And with that thought in our hearts, we pray, Father, for Chuck and Christy as they venture out into the unknown that is out there waiting for them. It's exciting.
Children and families living in their building. God, you know their situation better than we can. And God, as you send Chuck and Christy to them, help them to find a little bit of that safety. Remind them of their value and worth.
Lord, we know how important these children are to you, as well as their families, and as an evidence of that ripple effect. So, Lord, we are trusting in you that the seeds that they plant in these children just multiply in ways and in scope that we can't even imagine right now. Lord, each person learns differently, and we pray that you help Chuck and Christy and all of the workers there and all the volunteers to figure out new and creative ways to reach these children, whether it's the words they speak, the crafts, the activities, the hugs, the love and honor, whatever it takes. Lord, we pray that you give them clarity and discernment to know what each child needs individually so that they can reach each child. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
finally, God, we just pray for your presence and your peace to just flow through that place in the ministry center. Love here. We pray for every heart to feel value from you, God. We pray for those children that they see their value. How much love you have for them. Unending love. And the love that Chuck and Christy have. And the love that we have. It's just amazing that you brought this all together. That we all get to be a part of it. We lift up Chuck and Christy in the ministry. That it would just be a bright shining light for you. That your presence needs to be felt. In Jesus' name.
Now to him who is able to do exceedingly immeasurably more than all that can ask or imagine, according to the power at work within him, the glory in his church and in Christ Jesus and in Costa Rica, for generations to come, for what you're doing in Chuck and Christy and Love Cure. In Jesus' name, amen. Go do something about something.